Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Chapin. With 1 month of action in the books, I was originally going to do rest of season rankings because things have become clearer for what I guess you could say is pretty much the quarter mark of the season. But I feel like that would be a lot of repeats. Guys like Quinshon Judkins, Travis Etienne, Bo Nix, Cam Scadaboo, and other options we've been known to be high on that really haven't even moved up much because we already have them pretty high. So instead, I'll go with recommended options for week 5. But again, I do think things have settled down for the rest of the season rankings, and you can find them on wolfsports.com. But going with the week 5 advice, starting at quarterback, the biggest mystery here is the status of Lamar Jackson with a hamstring injury. We expect him to play and be close to 100% this week against the Texans. Last year on Christmas, the Ravens dominated Houston. Lamar had that long touchdown run that helped a lot of people in the fantasy championship. Fortunately, we'll know his status by Sunday at the very latest, and it'd certainly be a good idea to get a backup plan if Lamar doesn't play. But if he does, we'd still have him as a top 5 quarterback for a game that could be more high scoring than it would have been a couple of weeks ago due to the injuries for Baltimore's defense. And the Ravens still have plenty of playmakers if Jackson doesn't do the typical damage he does as a runner. For the back end of the QB1 ranks, we have Bo Nix as a QB7, Justin Fields as a QB8, and Jared Goff as the QB9. For Nix, the Eagles could be a tough matchup, and the game will be in Philadelphia. But I love what I saw from Denver's offense on Monday night. Nix was in total command. They got Marvin Mims involved. The running game got going, and Nix made plays with his legs. So after an up and down start, and I said last week, now was the time to buy low. You should have more confidence in him as a QB1. For Fields, he could really be a couple of spots higher based on the rushing ability. He had a 41-yard touchdown on Monday night. Week 2 was a huge disappointment, but he's put up monster fantasy points in the other 2 starts this year. And now he'll take on a Dallas defense that's allowed the most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. And I assume Fields will want to do well versus Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator for Dallas. And I don't remember there being really any bad blood there when they were in Chicago. But I'm sure Fields feels like he wasn't put in the best position to have success there. And he'll want to show what he can do as a quarterback this week against the Cowboys. And it's difficult to take him out of lineups based on the upside. And for Goff, the only concern I'd have is Detroit running all over Cincinnati. But they're aggressive on offense no matter what the score is. Won't hesitate to throw in scoring territory. And Cincinnati's an attackable secondary. So Goff should be a top 10 option and a great matchup. And if you're seeking a replacement for Lamar Jackson, the 2 guys I'd look to target for this week are Trevor Lawrence versus Kansas City on Monday night and Jackson Dart versus the Saints on Sunday. Starting with Dart, I didn't get to him last week because he was named the starter after recording. And the passing production would have been a concern even with Malik Nabers in the lineup. But the Giants showed they're running a sort of college-like offense for Dart, getting him involved as a runner. He had 54 yards and a touchdown last week on the ground, had a shovel pass for a touchdown. So in what should be a very fast-paced game versus the Saints, we have him as a QB17, perhaps the highest we'll have him ranked, at least until December, with the tough schedule kicking in after this week. But he's a great pivot for Jackson if you need it. And for Lawrence, that's another game where the Kansas City offense got on track, so Jacksonville might need to score points. We're still waiting for Brian Thomas Jr. and the playmakers to start putting up numbers, but maybe it'll come on Monday night for what should be an exciting AFC matchup. So we have Lawrence in the top 15 at quarterback. At running back, we have David Montgomery as the RB12. Disappointing last week against the Browns, but Cleveland shut down pretty much every running back they faced this year, with Jahmyr Gibbs really being the only exception. This week, the Bengals will be a much easier matchup. They just allowed Denver to have their first 100-yard rusher in, I think, 38 games. So look for Montgomery to get back on track and be a definite RB1 for this week. Behind him, we have Travis Etienne and Quinshon Judkins. That's a decision I have to make in my league. Both are top 15 options, but we give Etienne the slight advantage. In his career, Etienne's done pretty well versus Kansas City. He's never seen a huge workload, but the playoff matchup back in 2023, he had 10 carries for 62 yards and a touchdown. Last week, he handled 20 touches, with Jacksonville becoming more focused around him. So I expect that to continue on Monday night. Again, big game in the AFC, and Etienne brings a combination of floor and the big playability to boost his ceiling as a high-end RB2. For Judkins, what gives him the slight disadvantage to me compared to Etienne is the matchup versus Minnesota. The Vikings have shown they can be run on, but I think they'll end up selling out to stop the run. Judkins is a full-blown workhorse for Cleveland, one of the rare ones in the NFL, and again, we do have him in the top 15, but he might be dependent on a touchdown if Minnesota does do a good job stopping the run. And I am a little worried about Cleveland making a quarterback switch with Dylan Gabriel potentially seeing the field over Joe Flacco, which I think could downgrade the rushing attack this week versus an aggressive Vikings defense. And then for the Houston backfield, we still have Nick Chubb slightly ahead of Woody Marks in our rest of season rankings. Chubb did see 15 touches last week, so it's not like he was a total afterthought. But we have marks ahead of him this week. The Ravens dealing with a bunch of injuries on defense, including Roquan Smith in the middle. So I could see Marks having success, both as a runner and receiver. And he provided juice last week for a Houston offense that looked pretty lifeless through the first three games. So we have Marks as the RB30 and Chubb as the RB32, with each guy being a solid flex option for week 5. At wide receiver, we have Quentin Johnston as the wide receiver 11. He's established himself as the top option for Los Angeles. We remain optimistic about Ladd McConkey based on his talent, but he struggled last week with a couple of drops, and Johnston has become extremely consistent. Compared to early in his career, he continues to see valuable downfield targets from Justin Herbert, and over his past 5 regular season games dating back to last season, he's really been a no-doubt wide receiver 1. Last year in Week 18, he had 13 receptions for 186 yards. This year, he's gone for lines of 5.79.2, 3.71.1, 6.89, and 8.98.1. Last week, he saw the second most playing time of his career at 92.1% of the snaps played. So Johnston at least looks like a high upside wide receiver 2 the rest of the way. And for this week, in a good matchup versus Washington, we have him as a top 12 option. A couple of spots above him, we have Jameson Williams as the wide receiver 9. Last week, he had a couple of downfield opportunities that didn't connect, with Jared Goff just getting pressured. But he's still seeing plenty of deep targets. He's had a reception of at least 24 yards in each of the past 3 games. And I think we can now say confidently the opener was a complete outlier for the Detroit offense. So these chunk plays will soon connect for JMO. So this week feels like a ceiling game for him, and we have Williams in the top 10. Jumping down a bit, more in the low-end wide receiver 2 flex ranks, we have Marvin Mims as the wide receiver 28. First of all, it was encouraging to see Denver get him more involved in the win over the Bengals, and it looks like he's the clear number 2 receiver behind Cortland Sutton. So this week, with Sutton drawing a lot of Quinion Mitchell in coverage, Mims should benefit with plenty of snaps against Kelee Ringo. And I think Denver will make sure he stays involved in a tough game on the road. And dating back to the end of last season, the Broncos have been at their best when Mims is prioritized. So look for that to continue, making him a high ceiling flex. Then 3 more guys with similar profiles as big play threats at wide receiver for the Saints: Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. If they're going to start connecting on deep balls, you would think there's a good chance it happens on Sunday versus the Giants. So we have Olave as the wide receiver 26, the highest we've had him ranked this season, and Shaheed gets a boost as an upside flex. And then someone who should be taken seriously as a flex option in Isaiah Bond, the undrafted rookie wideout for the Browns. I can't remember if he was mentioned in a previous episode, but he's someone who we thought could have been a top 50 prospect before the off-field allegations surfaced about him. We still thought he would have been worth taking in the second or third round. Now the Browns will be without Cedric Tillman for at least this week, so Bond looking like the number 2 wideout. His snaps and targets have increased, so especially in deeper leagues with bye weeks beginning, Bond is worth considering as a flex, and we'll see if he gets some downfield shots, with the Vikings potentially being unafraid to leave receivers on an island this week. And at tight end, Isaiah Likely didn't pay off last week. He didn't record a catch, but it was his first game back, still encouraging that he played close to 50% of the offensive snaps. I would think Baltimore, in order to get the offense going, will have him more involved this week, so we have him as a top 10 option, assuming Lamar Jackson is active, as the Ravens try to avoid a 1-4 start. As the tight end 16, we have Darren Waller coming off a 2-touchdown performance in his Dolphins debut. The injury to Tyreek Hill should lead to more opportunities for Waller the rest of the season. The role in scoring territory is extremely encouraging. Tua had confidence throwing it up to him on the first touchdown, then a designed play to get him the ball on the second. So facing a Carolina team that struggles to defend tight ends, Waller's at least a high-end tight end too. And 2 guys I would start him over, so 2 options to maybe avoid, as the tight end 18, Evan Ingram, and the tight end 19, Hunter Henry. For Ingram, he just really hasn't gotten going when on the field for Denver. They've leaned more on the wide receivers and running backs instead. So versus Zach Bond and a tough Philadelphia defense, it's probably best to avoid Ingram for this week. And in terms of matchup, a similar situation for Hunter Henry. He's typically struggled versus the Bills over the years, so that's a spot I'd like to avoid. And there are options available like Likely, Waller, and Brenton Strange to consider as alternatives for this week. So that will conclude this episode. Again, you can find our full rankings, whether weekly or rest of season, on wolfsports.com. And if you're a Fantasy Consigliere member, we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. Until next time, I'm Dylan Chapin, and this was the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast.